Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. Welcome to the program. The phones are open. If you want to join the show, you can bring up absolutely whatever you want here on broadcast radio, online streaming. We've got a podcast as well. You can put us into your ears in a variety of different ways. You can go to freetalklive.com to learn more about that, learn more about the show. The phone number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight, it's Ian.
And Chris.
Chris, did you ever do any debating in like high school college or something like that? I was never in the debate class, but I think there was a time when, I think it was just like English class, where they did do some amount of debating. So there was a little bit, I think, in my past.
I'm sure I've done it like in like some sort of history or social class or something.
But I didn't join the like debate team or anything like that. I didn't really particularly enjoy it that much. But it is something that, you know, people who are into that, they see it as a rigorous way to defend a certain position. I think in a lot of cases in debates, you sometimes are asked to take a position that isn't even your own, right? So you're told you have to defend a position that is maybe the opposite from what you believe, and you have to bone up on what the other side would say, on what somebody who's not you would argue, and argue from that position. So it's kind of like an interesting intellectual experiment, from what I understand. I've watched some debates recently. There was the really excellent debate that they had at the Warehouse, which is a gathering place in New Hampshire, in Ware, New Hampshire, that Free Staters are frequently at. And there's various different seminars and hangouts and movie showings or whatever it is that they're doing out there regularly. But they had a debate with our very own Jay Noon, who represented fiat currency.
Oh, boy.
Jeremy Kaufman from Library, LBRY.com, who represented a cryptocurrency. And then Silver Dave represented precious metals, specifically silver, because that's kind of his thing. And they had a debate between the three of them, like, you know, which is the best form of money. It went on for 2 hours. It was really interesting. That video is online. I think if you look at the Freekeen Odyssey channel, you'll find it. Was it on Freekeen? No, you know what? It might actually only be on Joe's channel, Breaking the Flaw. I don't remember where it is, but
I saw part of it.
Yeah.
I don't recall either where it is, though.
But normally they like ask people in advance of the debate where they're at. They ask the audience what they believe on the topic, and then they take a count. And then at the end of the debate, they ask the audience again the same question, and they take another count, and they see how many audience members have moved in one direction or another. And that's how they determine who, quote-unquote, wins the debate.
Mm.
So that's my understanding of how it works. Came across an interesting story last night from the Free Press at VFP.com saying that at some high school debates, apparently debate is no longer allowed. Some judges in these debates are making their stance clear. If you don't agree with the judges' positions on things, you will lose the debate. So here's the story. And if you want to comment on this, maybe you're in high school right now or college and you're seeing this actually happening, or you've seen this happen and you want to comment, the number here is 603-283-6160. James Fishback is the author. He says, my 4 years on a high school debate team in Broward County, Florida, taught me to challenge ideas, question assumptions, and think outside the box. It also helped me overcome a terrible childhood stutter, and I wasn't half bad. I placed 9th my first time at the National Speech and Debate Association Nationals, 6th at the Harvard National, and was runner-up at the Emory National. After college, between 2017 and 2019, I coached the debate team at an underprivileged high school in Miami. There I witnessed the pillars of high school debate start to crumble. Since then, the decline has continued from a competition that rewards evidence and reasoning to one that punishes students for what they say and how they say it. First, some background. Imagine a high school sophomore on the debate team. She's been given her topic about a month in advance, but she won't know who her judge is until hours before her debate round. During that time, perhaps she'll pace the halls as I did at the 2012 National Tournament in Indianapolis. She'll scroll on her phone to look up her judge's name on a website called Tab Room. That's not Tap Room. It's T-A-B-R-O-O-M, Tab Room. A public database maintained by the NSDA, that's the National Speech and Debate Association. That's where judges post their quote-unquote paradigms, which explain what they look for during a debate. If a judge prefers competitors not quote-unquote spread, speak a mile a minute, then debaters will moderate their pace. If a judge emphasizes impacts, the reason why an argument matters, debaters adjust accordingly. But let's say when a high school sophomore clicks on Tab Room, she sees that her judge is Lila Lavender, the 2019 national debate champion, whose paradigm reads, quote, "Before anything else, including being a debate judge, I am a Marxist-Leninist Maoist. I cannot check the revolutionary proletariat science at the door when I'm judging. I will no longer evaluate and thus never vote for rightist, capitalist, imperialist positions slash arguments. Examples of arguments of this nature are as follows. Fascism good, capitalism good, imperialist war good, neoliberalism good, defenses of U.S. or otherwise bourgeois nationalism, Zionism or normalizing Israel, colonialism good, U.S. white fascist policing good, etc."
This is just so weird because the whole idea is to evaluate how well somebody argued a position, not that they agreed with the position.
Yeah, this is crazy. And how it is that this person can qualify as a judge in a debating competition by presumably overseen by this NSDA.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but they're assigned the position that they have to take, right? The debaters. So
I think so.
You lose or win effectively, according to this judge, based on what position you're assigned.
That's what it sounds like.
What's the point of debating? What's the point of the club?
That's the whole point of the article here, is to say that debating is basically dead at this point. Because there's so many judges now, I guess, or some amount of them, a significant enough amount, that are like this Lila Lavender, who just will tell you straight up, if you don't agree with her particular political paradigm, you're sunk. So how does that sophomore feel as she walks into her debate round? How will knowing that information about the judge change the way she makes her case, if she can even make
if you get assigned, you know, one side, are you supposed to then argue the side of your competitor?
I don't know.
I mean, that would just be crazy.
Can you, if you're a participant in one of these debates, can you say, look, I can't debate in front of this person? Can you just, you know, object, essentially, and demand a different judge? I don't know. If you know anything about this organization, you can give us a call here at 603-283-6160. But how does someone like this, Lila Lavender, even get appointed as a judge? I mean, I get that she's the 2019 National Debate Champion, so that gives her some kind of cred, but that just means she can debate. That doesn't necessarily mean she can judge a debate. Anyway.
Sounds like she doesn't want debate.
No, it doesn't. And she's not the only one. Traditionally, high school students would have encountered a judge like former West Point debater Henry Smith, whose paradigm asks students to focus on clarity over speed and reminds them that every argument should explain exactly how the person will win the debate. In the past few years, however, judges with paradigms tainted by politics and ideology are becoming common. Debate judge Subham Gupta's paradigm reads, quote, "If you are discussing immigrants in a round and describe the person as illegal, I will immediately stop the round, give you the loss with low speaks, meaning low speaker points, give you a stern lecture, and then talk to your coach. I will not have you making the debate space unsafe."
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so this person is saying that words, specific words, are off limits. And look, I don't disagree with the opinion. I personally don't like calling people illegal. I think it's a ridiculous position to take.
Yeah, same here.
But that doesn't mean that if somebody said something in a debate that I was somehow the judge of, that, you know, I disagreed with, shouldn't take, the judges shouldn't take that stuff into factor. Debate judge Kriti Sharma agrees. Under her list of, quote, things that will cause you to immediately lose, or rather automatically lose, number three on her list is referring to immigrants as illegal. Should a high school student automatically lose and be publicly humiliated for using a term that's not only ubiquitous in the media and politics, but also, well, according to the person writing this, accurate? I don't agree. Once students have been exposed to enough of these partisan paradigms, they internalize that point of view and adjust their arguments going forward. That's why you rarely see students present arguments in favor of capitalism, defending Israel, or challenging affirmative action. Most students choose not to fight this coercion. They see it as a necessary evil that's required to win debates and secure the accolades, scholarships, and college acceptance letters that come with the winning.
Yeah, you know, this is very true. Even when I remember when I was in high school, it's the whole idea is like, oh, you better join some sort of club. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even matter what it is, but you better be involved in some sort of activity so that when you apply to college, they know
they
who
like
to,
that, huh?
Yeah, who to pick.
What club were you in?
That's a good question. I don't even remember the name of the club. But I was in a club for, for basically because that's what the college people advised, right. It's kind of interesting, but I feel like it was almost a way to kind of weed out the kids who were, they couldn't weed kids out based on race anymore. So they weeded them out based on whether they were not, they were in a club. Mm. And of course all the white kids then joined a club and, but I don't know if that was the case or not, but that's what it seemed like to me.
So, I mean, in a way, this debate restriction story here is for the students that are participating in it, just kind of like an introduction to what they're going to likely experience in college, right? Which is teachers that have a specific political viewpoint. We hear about it all the time, that want to shove their political viewpoint down the throats of all of their college students. So from that perspective, what's happening to the debate clubs isn't really that different than what's happened at the college level itself. So, I mean, it's not too surprising, I guess.
Yeah, I've seen this at sort of from the opposite, I think, perspective, from more of a right Christian.
Really?
Yeah, and I think it was an English class in college where he tried to basically push religion down, our throats.
Oh, God.
And it was very bizarre.
So on paper, the NDSA or NSDA rejects what these judges are doing. Its rules state, quote, judges should decide the round as it's debated, not based on their personal beliefs. Founded in 1925, the NSDA chooses the debate topics and facilitates hundreds of tournaments, including the annual national tournament in Arizona, where 6,000 students will compete. The NSDA did not respond to emails and phone calls asking for comment. A random scroll through Tab Room reveals there are still sane judges out there. Amanda Marshall's paradigm says, I've been a trial lawyer for 25 years. I like clash, quality evidence from qualified sources, comparative analysis, and crystallization in last rebuttals. Don't take anything for granted. You have to explain your arguments, why your evidence is compelling, and how the arguments weigh in the round. It's your job to persuade me and communicate your positions in a way that is effective. And that is how you will win my ballot. I don't like whining, personal attacks, dominance, aggression, and disrespect. I do appreciate professionalism, kindness, and integrity. Or this paradigm from debate judge Stephen McCartney. Quote, my favorite debates are rigorous but friendly. I actually appreciate when one debater accepts one of their opponent's arguments as valid, but still persuades me that they should win the round. I'll make my decision based on who is the most persuasive, but persuading me will be done by showing with evidence that one side upholds their value and criterion better than the other side. In order to do this, a debater must speak slowly and clearly enough for me to hear and understand the arguments. Unquote. Unfortunately for students and their parents, there are countless judges at tournaments across the country whose biased paradigms disqualify them from being impartial adjudicators of debate. From, quote, I will drop America first framing in a heartbeat to, I will listen to conservative-leaning arguments, but be careful. judges are making it clear they are not only tilting the debate in a left-wing direction, they will also penalize students who don't adhere to their ideology. And again, if you've been in the debating world and you want to comment on how it appears to have changed over time, you can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. In the past year, Lindsay Schrodek has judged over 120 students at tournaments in Massachusetts, New York, and New Jersey. The NSDA has certified her with its cultural competency badge, which indicates she has completed a brief online training module in evaluating students with consideration for their identity and cultural background. Until last month, Schrodek's paradigm told debaters, quote, "If you are white, don't run arguments with impacts that primarily affect people of color. These arguments should belong to the communities that they affect." So she's saying if you're white, you can't make an argument that somebody who is a different color than you would make? I mean, that's just insane.
Does that mean like a white person can only make a white supremacist argument and a black person can only make a Black Lives argument or something like that?
Well, no, she's only specifically restricting white people here is what it sounds like. Her paradigm was updated to eliminate that quote. When asked why, she said she didn't eliminate the idea itself and that she, quote, doesn't know if it's exactly my place to say what arguments will or won't make marginalized communities feel unsafe in the debate space. So there's that safety concept that's come up again here by some of these judges. They don't want unsafe words or people to feel unsafe. And it's like, this is something we've heard just so much about over recent years, is this idea of a quote-unquote safe space. And to these people, a safe space isn't a place where you won't get shot to death if you win the debate, or somebody won't jump you in the parking lot. A safe space is a place where no one gets their feelings hurt, where no one in the room, no debater or judge or somebody watching the performance, would be upset about some of the words that come out of another person's mouth. And it's just like, this is debating. This is where you take a position that inherently has disagreement involved in it. Somebody in the room, the person you're against, is it disagreeing with you? People in the audience presumably are attending the debate because they might feel one way or another on this issue. And they could change their mind based on that. I mean, that is it seems like that meets their definition of unsafe. Ideas being thrown around here that might be disagreeable.
Well, the humorous part is, like, it's like you're supposed to argue a point. It's better when you argue a point that you disagree with, right? Mm-hmm. Like, or a side that you disagree with. That's kind of the whole point of the debate club, as I understand it.
Yeah. Well, that's one reason why I don't really care about debate. Because, like, why would I want to argue for another side? I understand, like, it's an intellectual rigor kind
of
thing.
Right, right. It's entirely about the intellectual aspect of it.
Yeah.
You know? So the idea that you would, like, not debate it or, like, yeah, it just sounds crazy.
Or be afraid to tread into a certain area. Be afraid to tread into certain arguments. Be afraid to make certain points because you're worried that somebody is going to get their panties in a wad about what you say.
I mean, how would you even argue, like, for example, immigration, right? How would you argue against illegal immigration but not use the word illegal immigration or illegal?
Undocumented worker.
So, okay. So I guess you could maybe do it. But it just, it does seem very bizarre.
This is the kind of tiptoeing, this politically connect or politically correct speak that has gone completely off the rails now. I mean, it was bad 20 years ago, but it's even worse now. As the person who writes the story here, thefp.com, points out, he says, "I disagree. In debate, unsafe, quote-unquote, conversation should be encouraged, even celebrated. How better for young people from all backgrounds to bridge the divides that tear us apart and to discover what unites them? The debate I knew taught me to think and learn and care about issues that affected people different from me. We've come a long way from the 2004 Democratic National Convention, when an obscure state senator from Illinois named Barack Obama said, if there's a child on the south side of Chicago who can't read, that matters to me, even if it's not my child. If there's an Arab family or an Arab-American family being rounded up without the benefit of an attorney or due process, that threatens my civil liberties. It's that fundamental belief, I am my brother's keeper, I am my sister's keeper, that makes this country work. It's what allows us to pursue our individual dreams, yet still come together as a single American family. End quote. 20 years ago, the NSDA I knew encouraged me to think and speak about how policies and issues impacted different communities, but not anymore. One judge gives people of color priority in her debates. In general, students voluntarily and mutually disclose their evidence to the opponents or their opponents before the debate round, as both teams benefit from spending more time with the other team's evidence. But X Braithwaite, who's judged 169 debate rounds with 340 students, has in her own disclosure policy in her paradigm, which uses a racial epithet, one, here's what it says, quote, N-words, which it's written out, don't have to disclose to you. Two, disclose to N-words. This is racial discrimination, of course. If you're black, you get to keep your evidence to yourself and have a competitive advantage. If you're not black, you must disclose all of your evidence to your opponent and accept a competitive disadvantage. I mean, how does this even fly? How do people like this stay in this organization? I mean, I guess that's just a testament to how completely backwards and corrupt that this particular organization has become. And we're talking about the NSDA, that is the National Speech and Debate Association. The fact that people who are just wearing a bias on their sleeve are allowed to be a judge. I mean, it would be one thing if this judge just kept that quiet and then just did it in the moment, right? Like if they just revealed their biases in the debate. But here they are just showing it right there on a public database of what to expect from them.
You think that would be some sort of disqualification as a
judge? That's
what
I'm saying. It's just unbelievable to me that this is allowed. It says here, students who win under this rubric may view their victory as flawed, as if their win isn't a reflection of their hard work. Those who lose may view this as a singular reason for their loss, even if it wasn't. Students suffer, and so do the sportsmanship and camaraderie that high school debate was once known for. It's not just that certain arguments are no longer welcome, it's also the students who make those arguments. At the 2018 NSDA National Tournament in Fort Lauderdale, a student was publicly ridiculed by peers for making conservative arguments. She later posted a, quote, open letter from a deplorable S-bag on Reddit, which read, quote, to the judges and students wearing the F. Trump t-shirts, tears stream down my face as I write this. I've never felt so hurt in my entire life. I really did not appreciate your words toward me after the round. I didn't appreciate the spectators / competitors wearing shirts with matching sentiment with you following me to my next rounds. I understand I speak fast sometimes and that I often unknowingly use words that offend certain groups of people. Also, I'm sorry that my attire didn't fit your standards. I know about the stain on my shirt, but it is really all I have. There's more coming up here, a little bit more about this story. You can share your thoughts on the status of political correctness.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy claims Democrats are out of step with ordinary Americans as the debt ceiling talks roll on. Speaking on Capitol Hill today, the California Republican said progress is being made, but a major sticking point is over work requirements for social benefit programs.
Overwhelmingly, America supports work requirements.
The Republicans want the requirements, while the Democrats oppose the increased work demands for the benefits. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg is optimistic about air travel this holiday weekend.
This is a big stress test of the system. We're seeing huge, huge demand. But so far, this holiday weekend appears to be headed in a good direction.
Memorial Day cookouts are going to cost more this year with inflation. The Bureau of Labor reports things like hot dogs, potato chips, and hamburger buns will cost more. Condiments and spices are up over 10%. Dave Collins, USA News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Here in the studio tonight, it's Ian and Chris. You can join us online, of course, over at freetalklive.com. And I want to let you know and thank you, or thanks and thanks out to Jared Hofker, who is a gold-level supporter of our AMPS program. Gold meaning that Jared is contributing $10 a month to AMPS. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. It's a way for you to get behind what we do here on Free Talk Live, and what we do, of course, is spread the ideas of freedom, liberty, peace, cryptocurrency, alternatives to the violent status quo that we have today. If you like what we're doing, then join Jared over there at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. We got an update on the the library case, lbry.com, that just came out via the Pacer government court system. We can give you a brief update on that coming up here in a little bit. And, of course, your calls and thoughts are welcome. But, again, if you want to back the show up for as little as $5 a month, and Jared's doing 10, so definitely appreciate the support, you can go to amps.freetalklive.com, and you can support us via debit card, credit card, or PayPal through amps.freetalklive.com. That takes you over to our Patreon. Now, let's say you don't care for Patreon. Well, we have another option for you. You can join the Odyssey channel as a supporter there. Just go to video.freetalklive.com and click the join button there at the top. And we're going to talk more about Odyssey in regards to what might happen to Library, or what is going to happen. Just the details haven't quite been hammered out yet in what is the equivalent of a sentencing procedure, but it's not criminal, so it's some other term in civil law. Anyway, we can get into that. But what we've been talking about here is the sort of the death of the national debating organization. This is known as the National Speech and Debate Association. Very interesting, revealing story by The Free Press at VFP.com. A gentleman writing the story has a lot of debating experience. His name is James Fishback. And he's, you know, won a bunch of debates, made it to nationals, did fairly well. And he's talking about this website where debate judges post what they call paradigms. And the website is called Tabroom, TABROOM.com. And so if you're in this debating organization as a high school senior or whatever your age is, and you're going to a debate, you know what your topic is, you can go and look up the judge that's going to be judging your debate on this website. And it's apparently an official site maintained by the NSDA. And the judges there post their paradigms, which explain what they look for during a debate. And what we've learned in this story here is that some of these judges are just straight up saying to you, and I don't know if you have any way of challenging this as a debater. I would hope that there's some way to do it. But they're just straight up saying, yeah, if you offend me, if your viewpoints are not matching my political viewpoints, if you're not a Maoist Marxist, then you are going to lose the debate. Or if you try to position your arguments as someone who has a different color of skin would, you will lose the debate, is what one of these other judges had to say. And it's just pretty outrageous. But going on here, he says, during my time as a coach, I saw many students lose interest and quit. They'd had enough of being told what they could and couldn't say. A black student that I coached was told by a debate judge that he would have won his round if he hadn't condemned Black Lives Matter. This is a black student who was told this. In 2019, I gave up on the NSDA and formed a new debate league. He calls it Incubate Debate. Their website, incubatedebate.org. To judge debates, we recruit elected officials, members of the armed forces, business executives, faith-based leaders, and others. At the 18 no-cost tournaments we've hosted this year, thousands of students have come together to debate, have fun, and learn from each other. And good for him. I think that is a good solution here, right? Rather than trying
competition.
Right. Rather than trying to change the old organization, this old, broken, almost 100-year-old now, 98-year-old organization from the inside, like, oh, well, we got to get elected to the board, and then we got to change the paradigms from the inside. No. He just went ahead and did the right thing, which is to create his own competing organization. And I don't know, you know, if they're perfectly principled. I haven't taken, you know, I haven't looked at it in any kind of detail, but it's another alternative. It's another option for people to decide to join, and I think that's the right way to do it. You build the alternatives rather than trying to take down the existing status quo. He says, finally, think back to that high school sophomore who's nervously pacing before an NSDA debate. Before she enters her round, she reads her judge's paradigm and says to herself, I'm going to lose. Her loss won't be because her argument lacked evidence or support. Her argument simply doesn't conform to her judge's ideology. Imagine her disappointment and hopelessness. Imagine her weeks of research and rehearsal. She never had a shot. So if you want to join the show here, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Now, of course, there are some people in the liberty movement who are, you know, they make a similar argument of we need to build the alternatives, and I don't disagree with that. However, the difference, of course, in what we're doing here in New Hampshire and with this National Debate Organization is the National Debating Organization is a voluntary association, right? So you don't have to be associated with it. You're not forced to fund their system. You can simply step away from it. You can join this other guy's thing. You can form your own system if you want to, your own debating club, and do it the way you want. So there's not coercion involved like there is, of course, with the state. And so as much as I like the idea of, you know, what do they call it? Agorists, right? Agorism sort of working outside of the system to create an alternative economy. And I think that's all great. I really do. and I support it as much as I possibly can, right? So, I mean, we bought some meat from J. Noon here. It's in the house. It's delicious. I didn't have to go through any sort of government process or whatever. And there's a lot of this community here in New Hampshire where people are buying and selling things from other people within the community. There is this sort of agorism going on. You know, that's likely not being reported to governments in any way, shape, or form.
Right? That's for sure.
Yeah. So I do support that, and I think it is important. But unfortunately, we still have to change the system. And I wish we didn't. I wish that we could just ignore it and have it just go away. But unfortunately, they will not be ignored. These people, these psychopaths who want to rule over your life. They have men with guns. They have cages. They've got vans. They've got handcuffs. They've got all the things they need. They've got bombs that they will use to enforce their beliefs on you.
And they will drop them on you, an American even.
They have, and they've done it in the past. And they will do it again, and they'll make whatever excuse they need to make, and most people will look the other way, or they'll just say, oh, it's just a few bad apples, and they'll have all the excuses they're going to have. So as much as I want to just build out of this, I don't think it's possible to simply go that one direction. There's still too many people who are caught up in the statist paradigm, the paradigm that it's okay to use violence against their neighbors, even though they don't see it that way, right? Like, they don't, when they think about the state, the average person doesn't think about the violence inherent in the system. They just think, well, that's just the way it is. We have to pay taxes. It's the cost of doing business.
It's the cost of living in a free society.
Cost of living in a civilized society, blah, blah, blah. So we hear a lot of these excuses. And that's why, of course, gathering people together is necessary. That's why the Free State Project is such an important concept to encourage people who already have our beliefs in individual liberty and peace to come to the same geographic area. But the reality is there's still not enough of us.
Nope.
I mean, we're not going to get 100% of libertarians to move to New Hampshire. That's unrealistic. If we could get 5%, I think that would be a tremendous success story.
You know, the good thing, though, is we don't need, you know, 100% of libertarians to move to New Hampshire. We need a percentage of libertarians to move to New Hampshire.
That's why I say 5% would be tremendous.
Yep.
If we could get it. But that's still not enough to win an election. That's still not enough, you know, to dominate the New Hampshire political scene. That's just enough to bring enough activists here to where we can't really be ignored. You know, we're already having tremendous influence, and they're already not ignoring us. We're not being ignored as is. There's groups that have been formed to specifically oppose the Free Staters. There's people who are absolutely obsessed with the Free Staters, haters who are obsessed with us in relatively high level positions. So we've been, the liberty activists here in New Hampshire have been acknowledged as a force to be reckoned with. And we're still relatively early on in this whole political migration thing. But I don't think we can just build our way out of it. Do you?
Just build our way out of it? I mean, I don't know. I mean,
there are some people who say, oh, well, you know, don't participate in the system, don't vote.
I think maybe the way you're meaning it, probably not. Obviously, you know, to some degree, I think you can ignore them. And for most people, you know, nothing's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But obviously, if you ignore them in certain areas, you know, like for example,
when they put the blue lights on behind you as you're driving somewhere,
yeah,
or I don't think ignoring them is going to work there.
For example, if you don't pay your property taxes, right?
No, you can't ignore those.
You might be able to ignore your income taxes, but if you ignore your property taxes, they're going to come after you.
No, yes, they will.
Yeah. So.
Relatively quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's because the paradigm hasn't shifted. You know, and it would be one thing to ignore them if the supermajority of people were on your side. If there was, like, no doubt that your neighbors, 90% of them or 85% of them, saw the government as a criminal enterprise, then I think that would change how this was playing out. I think that you would actually probably be able to ignore them at that point, because if there were, you know, if 80 to 90% of the populace was in agreement with you, then if you went in front of a jury, you'd have no problem winning a case.
There is also the other side of this, right? you don't even necessarily need 90% of people to agree with you. You just need enough people to agree with you doing what you're doing that it overwhelms the system and resisting, right? So I don't know what that number is, but let's say it's 5%, right? Because there's only so many, you know, judges. There's only so much money going into the court system. There's only so much of that.
Yeah, but 5%, you're not guaranteed to get somebody on a jury at 5%.
Yeah, but you don't necessarily need somebody on a jury. If you had 5%, let's say, you've overwhelmed their system. And if every person, you know, say, demands a jury trial, they don't have enough money going to that system to cover it, which would just ultimately end up increasing those costs. And eventually they're going to have to give up, even if they can go after, you know, a certain percentage of us.
No, I get what you're saying as far as overwhelm the system argument.
I'm not saying it's necessarily a successful strategic move. I'm simply saying, in theory, You might be able to go down that path, and it might
right, but you're still going to have people going to prison in that case.
Right. So, but there's always going to be people going to prison because they're always looking to make examples out of people.
No, I understand that, but what I was talking about, Chris, was the idea that, you know, we can ignore changing the system. Okay, so there's people who say that don't vote. Don't work within the system.
Yeah.
Stay outside of the system. Build the agora. Build the alternatives. And then eventually the system will just disappear. And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
unless you have a super majority.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
Of the people on your side. I mean, maybe you could get away with a slight majority, like 60% or something like that. You have to have a significant number of the populace who agrees with, like, voluntarism, anarchism, libertarianism, before you're going to actually be able to ignore the system, right? Before you could just have mass civil disobedience, mass non-payment of taxes, all of that stuff, and then have people just ignore the court orders or whatever, you would need to have a significant percentage of the population. And 5% of libertarians moving to New Hampshire ain't going to be that. So, given that there's not enough libertarians out there to make something like that happen, we have to persuade people.
Yeah.
We have to.
Argument is it's not the best strategic move, I think, to go down that path
to build the alternatives, solely build the alternatives. Like I'm saying,
working within the system, combining that and working with the system.
Yeah, do both. Why not do both?
Yeah, right? solely one thing is probably not going to get you what you want.
And we've seen success with the working in the system. It's tough. It's frustrating. It's slow. It's icky. Well,
and you know what? I mean, I think working outside that system has its benefits, too, in some respect. Like, for example, it generates publicity often that you're not going to get from working within the system, which is going to attract more people to New Hampshire, which will then result in there being more people in the system working to solve it, which will get us more results, more practical results.
Yeah, I mean, you and I, we've always, I think, been in favor of just doing whatever can make a difference, right? I mean,
yep, absolutely.
Work in the system, run for office, whatever, do some civil disobedience, do whatever you think is the right thing to do, but don't take down other people for doing the thing that they think is good, right? So if somebody's working within the system, if somebody's voting, they shouldn't be shouted down by the people who are the outside the system people. Because if that's what you want to do, if that's what you want to focus on, fine, by all means. I don't get insulted by people who don't want to vote. I think it's kind of silly.
I think there's a fallacy in even going down that path, in that it's not going to change. You know, voting could potentially have an impact, right? Whereas not voting will definitely have a negative impact, right? And I'm not sure why you would want to go down a path that is going to be strategically undermining, even if you don't necessarily think that it's going to have, a substantial impact, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
If the captain were here, and he's one of our current co-hosts, I believe Captain and Nikki are two anti-voter co-hosts on Free Talk Live. But if he were here,
yeah,
I think that he would say that it is immoral for him to participate in the system, that by voting he would be endorsing the system.
Would it only be endorsing the system if you were voting for candidates that were, you know, against liberty or trying to take away your freedoms?
You would think, but no, their viewpoint is that just simply registering to vote and participating, regardless of who you're voting for, even though you might be voting for all pro-liberty, 100% voluntarist candidates, which you can actually do in New Hampshire. You can only vote for libertarian voluntarist types if you want to, but they would still say that by simply showing up, you are giving your approval to the system.
I don't see how that is.
It's just in their heads.
Yeah, I mean, this seems like
it's fantasy.
Yeah, it seems like a fallacy to say that somebody who votes agrees with the system. I can vote and not agree with that system.
Right.
Like, I don't agree with the way the system is, the way the democracy is currently, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm not going to vote just because I disagree with it.
Well, here's the other thing. The system doesn't care whether you vote.
Right.
The system, the people who believe in it, the people who are the true believers in this religious system, which is what it is, really. The government's really just an evil religion that justifies violence against people. But those people don't care if you show up or not. They're going to keep doing what they're doing.
They want you not to show up.
It doesn't matter to them. Right? It doesn't matter. They're going to keep doing what they're doing because you're going to pay the tax bill at the end of the day. All these people who say they don't vote, you better believe they're paying the tax bill at the end of the day. And that's where the rubber really meets the road. Let's go to the phones here. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Chris. Go ahead.
Hi, am I on?
You are. What's your name, caller?
Oh, my name's Robin.
Robin, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
So I was listening. I'm sorry I haven't been listening tonight because y'all don't broadcast live. We're in my area. I was listening to a podcast the other day. And you guys were talking about Kratom, and there was some discussion about methadone and Suboxone and Subutex, and I happen to be a prescriber of those substances.
Oh,
all right. I work in a rehab facility treating opioid addiction, and I just wanted to correct a few things. The first thing I wanted to say is I don't want people that have an addiction to opioids to be afraid to get on methadone, Suboxone, and Subutex. They are much safer than what's out there, especially since what's out there now isn't even heroin. It's actually fentanyl cut with sugar alcohol. There's not any heroin out there.
Really?
At least in my area, yeah.
Okay.
Everybody's testing positive for just fentanyl.
Wow. And where are you calling from?
South Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah. And so there's no way for them. They'll say they're using a gram a day or something like that, but they're trusting math of these folks cutting the fentanyl into the sugar alcohol. So, frankly, legalization, I'd prefer to deal with heroin and pills
Absolutely.
Than fentanyl. But the thing about Kratom is that I have seen people get addicted to Kratom and have a harder time coming off it. They've tried to use it to come off of heroin or fentanyl, as the case may be, and they tend to escalate the doses and keep using more and more and more, whereas I have seen multiple times success with people coming off of opiates using buprenorphine, which is Subutex and Suboxone, and methadone. They're a lot longer acting than Kratom. They're definitely a lot longer acting than fentanyl and heroin. Because they're so long acting, you would have to taper down slowly, and it takes a while. But I have had multiple patients be successful with coming off of them slowly, and they weren't able to get off of the shorter acting opioids. Anyway, it was just driving
me
crazy.
So let me just make sure I understood what you're saying there, Robin. You're saying in your experience, as somebody who is involved in this, you know, side of helping people with breaking these addictions, you've seen people try Kratom, and they haven't had as much success to use Kratom to break a harder opiate addiction as you've seen people with using Suboxone, for instance, to break heroin addiction.
And what they end up doing is trying to break the heroin or fentanyl addiction, and they end up addicted to the Kratom. They end up there was talk on the podcast the other night about somebody who was using crazy amounts of Kratom. Just like any other drug, I think there's you know, certain people that can use drugs without becoming addicted, certain people who I honestly think have a genetic predisposition to become addicted, and unfortunately I don't think you know who that if that's you until it bites you.
But I'm not
for like making stuff illegal. None of my patients have come in looking for recovery because it's illegal. making stuff illegal doesn't solve the problem. But I just at the education part, I have more faith, I guess, because I deal with it every day, in buprenorphine and methadone as ways to get off of opiates than kratom, even though kratom is natural and all that kind of stuff.
Now, do you? I presume you've got to get a doctor's prescription to get the Suboxone, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a nurse practitioner, so I write prescriptions.
Now, what kind of cost are we talking about? I mean, would the kratom be a cheaper option for somebody that doesn't want to go to the doctor and, you know, go to a pharmacy?
It probably depends on how much. Probably depends on how much you're using.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is that the cost would probably be a trade-off if you're a heavy user. There is things like GoodRx that you can use for the prescription drug program. If you have insurance, a lot of times insurance will cover some of this stuff. So if you're a heavy user, of like fentanyl and heroin, the cost is, it's cheaper to do buprenorphine and methadone. It just is.
Mm-hmm.
But kratom, I'm not as aware of what the prices are, but my guess would be it's probably a few hundred dollars a month to be on methadone or Suboxone or Subutex. And my guess would be a heavy user would probably be spending a few hundred dollars a month. Someone could probably call in and correct me on that if I'm wrong.
Have you seen any success stories with kratom?
I personally haven't, but then you have to keep in mind I'm not looking for them per se. When people come in to see me, they're in trouble and looking for
They're already, you know, it hasn't worked. Whatever they've tried hasn't worked.
Right.
I got a question for you. Yeah. What is the amount of time that it takes to get off of these drugs?
Usually I recommend that you stay on methadone or buprenorphine for 6 to 12 months and get 6 to 12 months of what I would call good healthy habits and sobriety behind you before you try and get off them, and then take another probably 6 to 12 months to get off it.
Wow.
So it's a long process.
Serious stuff,
but usually by the time people come in to see me, they've got years behind them. And I hear, what I hear is not that it's illegal, but I hear I'm tired of it. I'm tired.
Wow. Thank you for sharing your experience tonight, Robin. I really appreciate you calling in and share that.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. The number here is 603-283-6160. And yeah, if you're listening to a podcast and we're not talking about that topic, you can just bring it up. Bring up whatever you want here on Free Talk Live. The number is 603-283-6160. Coming up, a Swedish VPN raided. We'll tell you about it.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.